Hello and welcome to Mellow Pods from the team behind Often Heard. My name is Gary.
My name is Alex.
You don't sound sure, Alex. You know, am I?
Oh, well, usually I have another person in front of me first.
We are a duo today, not a trio. Mark, you've abandoned us because you have other plans, which is fine. But I think you missed the wrong week, is what I'm going to say to start with.
Yeah, you just know he's just seething at home, knowing that he's missed out on chatting about this week's Melfest with us.
Oh, we are so excited. As Melody Festivalen, which is obviously Sweden's show to pick their song for the Eurovision Song Contest, gets on to week three, and we are into Växjö is the place where we're holding it this week. Växjö. I've been practicing that. Say it properly. So we have a bit of business then to discuss as we look at the next six songs in Heat 3. We start off with Karina singing with a couple of her friends, Carolina Ginning and Christine Meltzer. They sing You Ring, I Come, basically is the song. Now Karina is an okay host. She presents well, as in straight presenting, factual, this is what we are doing, these are the results kind of thing.
She'd be good doing the news.
But she presented like The Voice and stuff like that. So she's done entertainment presenting. But that's different, I think, to Melfest, where it's a bit more comical normally with the presenting. You have a bit duos that a bit can be a bit sparky and you're playing around and stuff and being a bit silly. And I really don't want to come across as really shady or anything.
Oh, come across as shady. I do it every week.
But it kind of felt like they almost realised that, you know, she was, she was coming across okay, but it wasn't particularly sparky between her and Bjorn. So they've parachuted a couple of her friends on, because apparently she's worked with them on various TV shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they brought them on board and... I don't know. It immediately felt like Christine and Carolina. You said they were talking over her, and she was just standing there because
she had this look on her face as they were sort of talking with Karina between them, and it was very much like her face was going, "Is this what chemistry looks like? Is this how you talk to other people?"
They just brought so much life and energy to it. And the fact that they even stole a couple of bits, I felt, from Karina, you know, in terms of one of them did a bit of green room chat. One of them did a bit of a comedy impression and stuff with one of the other contestants. And it felt like Karina had been pushed slightly further back by those two. And they grabbed a couple of her bits. Which is a shame. I don't know if that was a whole totally self-aware thing and then they know what they were doing.
But what, you think the people behind Melfest decided to bench Karina for a bit and just to try it with someone else?
We've seen it before, didn't we? We saw it a couple of years back with Oscar Zia. Farah was the Green Room host. And she was brought a little bit more into it after this first week or two to do a few more segments. To help, and it became more of a team. Whereas Karina this year has been very much pitched as the solo host, and so she had a lot to do. I felt it worked better with the three of them, to be honest.
Yeah.
Karina was the straight woman, and we had Carolina and Christine mucking around with her.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
I like the chemistry. But anyway, enough about being shady about the host. Sorry, Karina, if you're listening. Not that you ever will. But you're a good straight presenter. But have some fun, please. We need to go and talk about these songs. So, shall we start with a recap? I think we should, shouldn't we? Here we go. Here is the six songs from Heat 3 of Melfest. Effortless. Jacqueline. Oh, Aldrimir, Clara Klingenström. Take My Breath Away, Kim Cesarian. Today, Cloudy. I Won't Shake, La La Ganilla, by Ganilla. And Cassiopeia, Give My Heart a Break. So there we go. There is our six for this week. And we will start then by looking at song number one, Yacht Clean and Effortless. Alex, call the police because Yacht Clean has stolen my heart. Oh my God. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think either of us can find the words.
Melfest has finally arrived. Like, they took the notes I've been saying for like the last 2 weeks and have just finally given us some actual like Eurovision-y style songs.
I think this is an excellent song. I absolutely love it, and I have loved it from the first listen. Because I went in blind. Just a bit of background. She is first-time entry in Melfest. She was the runner-up in Swedish Idol 2021. And the writers behind this include Thomas Gearson, obviously, very famous with Melfest. Cassiopeia, yeah, performing later on.
Who's she competing against?
Yeah, Yacht Clean herself and Jimmy Jansen. So, basically, the team behind Tattoo have written this, essentially. I mean, what did you think, Alex?
I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, it was, again, it was another pop song, which we've had in previous weeks, but there was just enough little additions to it to make it a Eurovision-y song in terms of, like, the lighting, the fact that it wasn't too dancey, but there was some decent choreo.
Yeah.
And even the set, the fact that she began and ended the song in that floating box that she had on the stage, I thought that was that little kind of extra touch that made it a good Eurovision-y song.
Yeah, she owns that stage. The way she struts around, she is bang on with the dance moves. Great vocal on it. It's got a proper chorus, which I'm really frustrated about the lack of chorus in a lot of songs that we're seeing this year. It's just one of those songs that is catchy from the very beginning. And it's weird. I have never felt so strongly about a song. I think, well, I have, but not for a very long time, not like this. It's completely up my street. It's ticking all the boxes. Just
It was expertly handled. Very well done, Jacqueline.
Yeah, 10 out of 10. No notes, basically. That is such a good pop song. Anyway, we should move on. I just want to come and just watch this over and over again.
Yeah,
but I shouldn't. We need to move on. Song number two then was Clara Klingenström. Now, Clara, we have seen before in 2021, and she got through to the final at that point, and came fifth. She's back this year with Never Again. Now, I think we quite liked Clara, didn't we, last time we saw her a few years
back?
Yeah,
that was Run to the Hills, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, that was Clara Hammerström. There's a couple of Claras.
Which one? That yeah, year. There's been a few of that, yeah. Which one was which one was this Clara?
Oh, now you're asking. Now I have to go and look it up.
Because I was watching this last night with Silent Social Media Rob, and we both thought this was Run to the Hills Clara.
It's she was Behöver Inte Dig Idag. So she had pink hair and she had a guitar back in 2021. And she was singing, in Swedish as well. Pretty much like we're seeing tonight, basically, except she hasn't got the pinkish hair, but she's got the guitar.
Yeah.
It also looks like she's kind of in a car wash as well. She's got these curtains that have been shredded.
I was about to say, this act has been sponsored by seaweed.
It is a bit odd. It's kind of stripped back staging, you know, compared to what we've seen on some other stuff tonight.
Sure.
You know, she's just got a wind machine and these shredded curtains behind her blowing around gently. I'm getting like Cornelia vibes from the wired mic that she's got. It was nice to see her get her moment on the big stage, because obviously in 2021 when she did it, it was all held in a studio with no audience because of, you know, COVID conditions and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the first time she's done Melfest and she's actually got to perform in front of an arena. And I felt that she did ramp up her performance to match the energy of that bigger venue. But is it just more of the same is what I was thinking. I was like, yeah, this is, you've kind of given us this before. It's just, you've just bumped it up a level or two.
Yeah. Like, now that we've identified which Clara is, you are right. It does feel a lot kind of the same as what she's done before. I wasn't, like, blown away by the set. Her vocals, I think particularly during the verses, were not the strong. I feel, the way I feel of it is if she had sung this song one octave higher, she probably would have, it probably would have been much better vocals. Like, she was singing it in such a low register. Particularly during the verses, it all sort of veered off and became very kind of shaky.
I see what you mean. And that's why it kind of felt a bit like her previous entry, because that had a similar structure. She was lower in the verses and then it was quite high as you went to the chorus.
Plus, how old is she?
I have to get my Melopedia out, hang on. Because that would tell us
I have some thoughts about the costumes, that's all.
Okay. It's just loading up, there we go. Putting me on the spot here, and I'm having to pull up artist facts on the fly. Clara is...
Yeah, sorry to have to do this.
Oh, she was born in 1995, so...
so she's sort of late 20s then.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, outfit they put her in, I thought it aged her.
Yeah, so
I thought she looked sort of like late 30s, early 40s in that outfit.
She turns 29 in 3 days from when we're recording this on the 18th. On the 21st, she'll be 29.
Oh, God. Sorry. I'm sorry, Clara.
Oh, dear. Sorry, Clara. But it was okay, just a bit more of the same, I think, was my summary for that one. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to song number three, then. Kim Cesarian, Take My Breath Away. Not, you know, Berlin, Take My Breath Away, because obviously... that would be a cover.
Uh-huh.
We can't do that. What did you reckon to this one?
Me and Silent Social Media Rob had very different opinions on this.
Oh,
he
really?
Hated it. I really liked it.
I agree with you. I really like it. And you know what? I was having the same conversation with Phil, my other half, over text, because he's not here. And he was like, man, it's all right. And I'm like, all right, that's a really good song. What are you on about?
Yeah, I like kind of like the 80s synth feel almost at the beginning that went through. Like his, I thought his vocals, while a little bit kind of breathy, suited the song really well. So obviously he's singing in a much higher range.
Mm.
The outfit, simple, but really nice.
Yep.
And it's a good song.
Yeah, it reminded me a bit, like you said, of the synthy bit at the beginning, reminded me of a Flashdance. I was like, Maniac, Maniac.
Yeah.
So that hook caught my attention straight away. I like the hook that we get in the chorus. I like his voice, like you said. I thought he sung it really well. He gets bonus points because he had, I think, something like 4 or 5 different backing singers on stage, and he gets even more points if they were singing live along with him as well. Because it's not something we see very often now, with the pre-recorded backing being allowed. A lot of acts choose not to have any backing singers on stage with them, and they just rely on the dancers to fling themselves around and create a show that way. So it was nice, I think, to see backing. And if it was live backing, that's even better. But I can't really tell, to be honest, even from watching it back. I'm a bit, it could just be miming, but the effort was put in, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely.
It's interesting, his staging was quite different, I think, to some of the others, in the sense that he relied solely on the LEDs. There was no video screen at the back with like a graphic running. It was all done with lighting. Which you don't see too much of, because people have got LEDs on the floor, on the walls and stuff, and you know, you can use them, you can throw any kind of backdrop you want on that. And he chose not to. He went for, nope, we're just going to go with a kind of white, pinky purple light theme, and that kind of Connect 4 board thing at the bottom, at the back, that they have of lights.
But because he's got that black, they've all got that like black sequin look on them, like all that glittery. The colours reflect off that outfit really nicely and give it this extra depth.
I did like that,
which I think is good styling.
I would wear that jumper. I like that.
Mm.
So good song actually. I like that. It's one of those. Yeah, I'd play that. I would listen to that again. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, we shall rattle on then to song number 4, which is Cloudy and For Day. Like Kim, it's another debutant. First time we've seen him in Melfest. The song translates as For You. And he starts off the song looking like he's sitting in a field, I think, with all the plants surrounding him or something. It's got that kind of dreamy, warm summer night quality and smoke rising up to it. It's a bit of a let's pause and take a breath kind of song. It's a bit slower, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I'm looking at your face and going, I'm not sure if you like this one or not.
This one confused me.
All right. In what way?
There was a lot going on in terms of the visual side of it that just left me confused. I was like the outfit, I don't think says music, duh. His movement was very kind of stiff and one note. Why was he in a cornfield? Like, why? Like, if I'd shut my eyes and just, like, listened to the song, I would have been like, oh, this is quite nice. But when you add the visual element into it, it just became confusing for me.
Oh dear, you really don't like
it. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. It's nothing against it, because it was beautifully sung. And it's a great song But yeah, no, because I had the visual element to go with it. I was just...
You think it didn't quite match the song?
No, I don't think it did.
The thing is, I listened to this and he got to the chorus and I went, that's not a chorus. You can't just wail and call that a chorus. And this is happening even more now. You know how I have this thing about it's not a chorus, and because people go and do an instrumental where we would normally expect a chorus to be. I feel like...
Or just repeat the same words over and over and over again. Exactly. The same, maybe one to three phrases.
Yeah, and that is exactly what I'm finding. I started being a bit grumpy about, you know, that's not a chorus, that's an instrumental bit. Why are you doing that instead of a chorus? And now it seems that we've graduated to either I'm going to wail all through and call it a chorus, or even worse, I'm just going to repeat the same phrase or even all the words or whatever over and over again, and that's the chorus. And like, no, that is not a chorus. I should get off my horse now, shouldn't I? My freaking snusk pink horse. It's like, no, just no, no, please, can we have proper choruses back? Please see Jacqueline if you want an example of a decent chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sung fine, it was perfectly good. I didn't notice any bum notes or anything like that. He did a good job in that respect. But to be honest, I was kind of glad when it was over, because it was like, yeah, can we move on now? Because there was nothing for me here. It's just not my taste. I'm sure, as we'll see on the results, there are people who do like it, but I am not one of them. It's not my taste at all. Sorry. Okay, song at number five then. Where do we start? Gunilla Persson. I won't shake. Open brackets. La la. Gunilla. Close brackets.
Oh my god!
Well, apparently, she is one of the stars of a show called Swedish Hollywood Wives. From what I can gather, it's some Swedish wives who happen to live in Hollywood, California type, you know, real housewives type thing, I think.
Oh,
from
God.
What I can gather. She was a model back in the 1980s, and I can kind of see that. And she also had a small role in Dallas, apparently, because she lived in Dallas at one point for a time. So
that explains the outfits.
Yeah, she's like a celeb, basically. She's not a singer, or not known for being a singer.
Are we talking celeb, or are we talking air quotes celeb?
Celeb in air quotes, I suppose. It's difficult, isn't it? Because we don't know her. You know, she's obviously popular in Sweden, because you heard the cheer when she was announced roster at the start of the show. It was huge, wasn't it?
And even like when she was performing, I was just seeing the hearts just light up all the way through.
Yes, exactly. So we don't kind of get it. We don't get her because we don't know her. To us, it looks like some 60-year-old woman has come on and attempted to sing a song. And we don't get the joke.
Are you sure you don't get it? Are you sure you don't get it because it's her performing? Are you sure you don't get it because of your universal hatred of country music?
I mean, as soon as it started, I was like, oh no.
That's what we said. We're like, as soon as the city came on, we're like, Gary's gonna hate this.
Yeah, it's country style, so obviously that's going to be a struggle for me. It's not very often I do like a country style song. I don't think she can sing very well, to be honest.
No, she couldn't hold a note if it had handles.
Oh, I was just... I mean, she can't really sing, and you know, that was highlighted even more considering the strong competition that was around her. I felt the backing track was doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Definitely.
On this one. She's like a novelty act, like, you know, Eva and Eva were a couple of years back. Remma-lamma-ding-dong.
Remma-lamma-ding-dong, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very that.
Very that, but without the charm of Eva and Eva. And Eva and Eva could sing. Do you like it more than I do, Alex?
I mean, it was like a car crash. Like it wasn't a particularly pleasant thing to watch, but you know, at the same time, you couldn't look away from it. This woman is, you know, she's glitzy, she's glam, she's mad as a chair.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean, Melfesti has novelty acts. That's nothing new. We are used to these being thrown into the mix, and that's absolutely fine to get you a bit of variety, and we like that. But we don't like that, is what I'm saying.
The thing is, it's all right to have a novelty act. Like, we've seen it before with, you know, think about, like, Ukraine, think about Verka. We've seen those kind of novelty, kind of bit doolally acts appear in Eurovision before, but you've got to have some actual, like, skill behind it as well. Like, at least Verka had some vocal skill, had some big stage presence, knew how to perform, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
Bless her heart, the closest thing she did performing was doing that little kind of weird hip motion to make all of her fringe move about.
I mean, it's 65. You know, you go, girl. Why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I mean, not my taste. She's potty mouth. She throws in a couple of swear words in there. Which would have had to, she would have to change anyway if she were to win.
Yeah.
It's one of those, it's all right, but not a serious contender, is the box I put it in. People will like it because it's her celeb status. Right, enough about Gunilla. Let's talk about song number six then, the final one for this week.
Yay!
Kazi Opeia, Give My Heart a Break. Now, she is riding high after being one of the songwriters behind Tattoo from last year, not to mention winning the American Song Contest and performing in Melfest a couple of years back with I Can't Get Enough, which is a song that we both really love. We can't get enough. Writer of many K-pop songs as well. Apparently, she's in huge demand as a songwriter. Can you get enough of Kazi Opeia then, Alex?
No, this song was, it was the best of the night by far. Like, once again, Kazi Opeia left her very unique stamp upon Melfest. And it showed again, you know, I loved kind of the way it opened with the set. It was giving me very sort of Alice in Wonderland vibes. Actually, the whole thing, when you think about it, was very kind of Alice in Wonderland in terms of the staging. She starts out like coming through the keyhole because the lyrics are all about crying. And then suddenly kind of like Alice, she's sort of in the ocean, almost like the ocean of tears. Mm. It was good stage. Jing, I thought they made good use of the screens for that, and you know, she looks again wonderfully kooky, the way we expected.
She's like a piece of tinsel in a good way. It's fun. It's fun.
Like, what else would you have expected her to wear?
And her backing dancers are like reverse Mr. Blobbies. They've got yellow skin tight suits with pink spots on them.
weird, like, it was like a cross between the outfits were a cross between like Mr. Blobby and that weird bald thing from Pan's Labyrinth with the eyes on the hands.
Yes, that, and then and broken hearts on their heads. It's just, yeah, it's so colourful, it's whimsical. She is a great performer. It's got a great hook to it. And it's just one of those songs that makes you smile and it makes you happy.
Yeah. I think if it's anything like last year, I think she's got a really good chance of being our winner.
I do. I absolutely love the song. I think it's really, really good. She's such a good performer. It's, you know, is it better than I Can't Get Enough?
Oh! I don't know, because I consider them, like, they're two, I consider them two very different entities. Like, yeah, they've got a similar vibe, and both kind of fit into Cassiopeia's kind of energy that she puts out, but...
Yeah,
they're singing about two very different things.
Yes.
So I consider them two very separate.
It's one of those ones, I don't think I can call it between the two. I'm just like, I like them both, and I can't say that one is better than the other.
No.
I still absolutely love them
either.
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. What a song. So let's have a look at the results then and see how things came out. So after the first round of voting, the song with the highest votes was put through Director Finale, and that was Jacqueline. As expected, to be honest.
Yeah.
As expected. Very strong. Great to see her in the final. When we have our second round of voting, the breakdown is always interesting. I'm just trying to pull up the... There we go. There's the full notes. I need to pull up my spreadsheet with all my scores on it. So this is always interesting. We have Kazi making a play for all the 12s across the board. She got a 12 from everybody apart from the 10 to 15 and the 16 to 29-year-old age groups. They gave their 12s.
Both of which surprised me.
They gave their 12s to Gunilla. Like, really?
What?
What? Hey?
To Gunilla?
Are you sure?
Are you sure we're looking at the right age groups here?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, how is Gunilla appealing to that sort of 10 to 29-year-old age group? I don't get it. I mean, again, because we don't know her, that's probably why we don't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really a surprise. And because obviously the way they announce the votes, they do it in a certain way to create that tension. And when you started seeing Gunilla getting a couple of 12s rolling in, you were like, oh no, 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 no. This can't be happening. So I was kind of glad that that got reversed after a couple of 12s, and then Cassie just went on to sweep the board from 30 to 30 year olds upwards, basically.
Sure.
We got a couple of 10s for Cloudy, from the 30 to 44s and the 45 to 59s. We also had Clara picking up a couple of 10s from the 60 to 74 and 75 plus as well. So scores on the doors. The end of that round, we had Kazi going through to final, and our second chances were Cloudy and Gunilla. Right finalists, wrong second chances for me.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I would definitely swap them out.
it just, yeah, I get, we don't get vanilla. Vanilla. No.
Vanilla. Millie Vanilli.
We don't get Ganilla. Fine. But I would have preferred Take My Breath Away to go into the second chance. I knew it couldn't go to the final. I can't, no, it can't go direct. I understand that. Because the competition was very strong. But yeah, it's.
Sure.
No, don't agree with those. So, Alex, have we seen a winner this week?
I would say so. It would be nice to see Cassiopeia be the one to win.
Yeah.
And I think she's got a very good chance of it still.
Yeah.
But I also think Jacqueline has a really good chance as well.
That's it. That is exactly my thinking. It's, I think it's going to be, it could be Jacqueline. Obviously, we've still got two rounds to go. You know, we haven't seen all of the songs. We haven't heard them all. So we don't know what the competition is like. But based on what we've seen so far, honestly, I want Jacqueline to win, to be honest. Even over Cassie.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would, if it had to pick between those two, I would go for Jacqueline. Because I just think it's just...
Okay.
That's it's just slightly got more of a broad appeal, I think. Cassie is great. I love her song. It's an earworm. I'm going to be playing it again. It's one that's going to go on a playlist and go on rotation. But I don't. It just doesn't make me feel quite the way that Jacqueline. I had an epiphany watching that, as she says, epiphany. And it wasn't in the backseat of a car. Yeah, it's just wow for Jacqueline, and not quite as big a wow with Cassie, but still wow like that.
Yeah.
So I am so excited. I'm excited, but you know what happens when I like a song, don't you?
Yeah.
Kiss of Death. So it probably means she's destined to come like eighth in the final or something like that. It's just...
Well, only time will tell.
Yes. I think that's about it for this week, isn't it? Oh. Wow. What a round three to miss out on, Mark. You're going to be kicking yourself for missing this. Ugh. Right, that is it from us for this week. We shall see you next week as the Melody Festival rolls on to its next destination. And we'll see if we can find a song that could potentially beat Cassie or Jacqueline. Right, thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.